Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
I get it, medieval in your eyes.
If you said Pulp Fiction,
I'ma get medieval on your ass.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
John Lewin is here, Deputy District Attorney, major crimes here in Los Angeles. Well, so much to talk about, so interested. We're talking specifically about crime involving a fellow by the name of William Bradford. And this guy killed his wife in 88, yes?
Yes, correct.
threatened to kill or was planning on killing her lawyer. Around the same time.
It was going to be a two-for-one day, basically.
Not enough evidence to put him away back in the day until you came on later on in the case?
Well, it was a kind of a complex circumstantial case, and I think back in the late 80s, they weren't doing the kinds of cases that we do now. So I think it was a very compelling case, but it was a situation where the case was not filed. About the best I can tell you.
But you took up the case in 2002?
No, I took up the case 99 or 2000. Mm-hmm. We ended up filing it and trying the case in 2002.
But essentially, this guy's free for over a decade, and then you come around and then you incarcerate him.
That's correct.
And he said if he gets out, he's killing you.
Yeah, so he had executed his wife. You know, and not all murder cases are the same. I mean, you can, especially when you're talking about spousal killings, you know, you take somebody the wrong day, the right circumstances, and decent people can do terrible things they can't undo.
Right, like run over someone's chihuahua.
Sure, blame it on the neighbor.
Yeah, that's just
no.
Bad.
You're saying if the stars align the right way, well, I'm coming home from the firing range. After I want to take my Glock out for a walk, and then at some point I decide to stop off at the neighborhood bar and have a couple of pops. And as I'm walking into my master bedroom, that's the wrong day for my wife to be banging the gardener because the gun is in my hand, the booze is in my system, and this just becomes a crime of passion or whatever. So a good guy could do a bad thing.
Absolutely. That was not what this scenario was.
Then there's execution.
Yeah, well, this is a guy who basically, he wasn't 18, 19 years old. He was 55 years old, an upper middle class satellite engineer. And he's getting divorced from his wife. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to give you the amount of money I think you should get. And when she decided, you know what? I don't really want to be starved out and ended up making an agreement, he didn't agree to it. And so when it turned out that they sold their house as a part of the marital asset distribution, he gets a call the day before the murder from the realtor saying, hey, I've got your money. One thing, it's missing about $40,000 because your wife's lawyer came in and garnished the $40,000 you owed her. He was supposed to be paying that off at $150 a month, mm-hmm. but he was too greedy to do that. So there was a clause that if he was 60 days late on that $150, she could get the whole $40,000. So she gets the whole $40,000. He does not go to work the next morning. He's such a dedicated employee, I'm sure this is for all of you here as well, that his boss, when he doesn't show up, drives to his apartment because they think he's dead.
Wow.
He's not dead. He's just very upset. And then coincidentally, later on that evening in a very nice area of Torrance, his wife will be shot 5 times,
oh my God.
Basically executed in the middle of her living room. The third shot, while she was crawling away from him, point blank to the back of her neck, and then two shots when she was not moving and probably already dead.
Mm-hmm.
He then took off for the Redondo Beach Pier a couple of miles away, where he slept in his car for the next 2 days. Coincidentally, that's where her lawyer had his office. So mm-hmm. the lawyer never shows up. He's pacing back and forth, sleeping in his car. His own place was about 2 miles away as well. So he was not known by his family. This will shock you, as a real, you know, guy who liked to go to the beach and meditate and contemplate and sleep in his car for 2 days.
Wasn't a Jim Morrison type?
No, he was
write a little poetry and walk around Venice.
Yeah, more of an indoor guy, exactly. So what happens is that he realized, you know what, no one's coming to get me. I think I can get away with this. And so Sunday morning, he ends up getting a call from his son, where he explains. The son tells him, "Hey, Mom's been killed. No questions about what happened. No,
okay.
Tough break. And the detective serves a search warrant on his place, and they recover a box for a 357, no gun, and turns out she was murdered with what was consistent with 357. And she was murdered with a hollow point, Winchester hollow point, silver tip ammunition. A lot of different ammo that'll go in a 357 or a 38. So it just so happened that he loaded his weapon, which was missing, with the same, not completely rare, but unusual ammunition that she was murdered with. So case wasn't filed. He got away with it. He retired with more than $1 million from TRW.
It's weird that it's weird, because when somebody's divorced, when a spouse is executed or killed, it's always the spouse. It's always the whoever
the
survived.
Husband did
the
it.
Husband
yeah.
or the wife hired a hitman or whatever it is. Why? It seems like such a layup. Why wow. initially did it fall through the cracks?
So I make my living for the past 20 years. All that I've done are complex, primarily, almost exclusively circumstantial cold cases. The majority of those are spousal killings. And what happens is that over time, there's been more of an appreciation for you can put a case together without a body or without physical evidence. So, you know, I don't want to was a different time. I don't want to point fingers.
I get it. It's like having a racist grandfather.
Different times.
He's set in his ways. It's different times.
That's good. That's good.
We don't want to say anything about Pappy. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you love him less.
It was a different generation. It's like people talk differently back then.
This is true. By the way, the pronunciation of my name is Lewin.
Are you serious?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. My head was going to explode.
I'm kidding.
That was good. All right. Let me lighten it up for 1 second by saying this half of the show is brought to you by LifeLock. You go to LifeLock.com. Type in and get 10% off. TrueCar.com. Get that app. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, and sports. And Geico. Geico.com. So now you reopen this thing. You make it work. You make it stick. He goes in to jail or to prison on what charge? What do you get the conviction for?
We file the case. Myself and the Torrance Police Department. Torrance Police Department did phenomenal work. We reinvested the case. At the time we filed it, we didn't have any new evidence, but we thought it was very compelling. Case was filed. He was out of custody the whole time, and he hired a prominent lawyer, and he thought that he was going to beat it. So when he got convicted, he was not prepared for it. Now, he was, I think, 67 or 68 when I tried him. So, you know, this is not a young man. So he gets sent to prison, and I don't know, 4 or 5 months later, I get a call from the Department of Corrections, from their internal – they have their own internal security. And they say, hey, listen, Mr. Lewin, here's the situation. We have a credible report of an inmate who is making arrangements to murder you and your family. So, you know –
as Damoshek would say, to what end?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're still in prison.
Just a heads up.
Well, it's – I mean –
I understand. He's an insane person. He's vengeful.
Well, to what end? At age 55 – he was prepared. He murdered his wife. I meant to add, I should have told you this. He murdered the wife knowing that their 16 and 21-year-old would find the body.
Oh, God.
So that was another class move on his part.
Sounds like a delight.
Yeah,
he's a sociopath, right? I mean, possibly. Well, does he register human emotion like the rest of us?
No, he's not a sociopath or a psychopath.
Really?
He's just a complete, miserable asshole.
Sometimes it's just that simple.
That's all it is. There's no programming issue with him. Very simple. I'm going to give you – you'll leave the marriage when I say you'll leave. I'll give you what I say you'll get. And if you don't like it, then prepare for the consequences. So anyway, so I get this information and I'm told that there's an informant. So of course, I've been doing this a long time. Okay.
This can't be the first time there's been a threat on your life, given what you do and who you deal with.
So I'll tell you something. There's a difference between someone in the heat of the moment, they're getting convicted, et cetera, you know, saying
something. I'm going to get
you. Yeah, versus this guy.
Making plans.
Yeah, so I've been doing this many, many years, and I can tell you this is the one guy of anyone I prosecuted that concerns me. The only one.
And, well, it should, because that's what he does. Either what he did and what he tries to do. And also this sort of thing of like, I'm going to murder my wife. That's, as we talked about, when somebody's dead and go look for the husband, go look for the wife, there's a lot of stuff that goes on inside the family, most of these things. But when you go, oh, I'm going to go wait for attorney and take him out too, that then puts you in a different realm.
You're
in a different zip code now.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear. He's a bright guy. Killing his wife and killing the attorney, this was going to be, I believe, without question, it was going to be a double murder-suicide. So he had decided at that point in time, you're not going to kill the wife and kill the attorney when there's probably people there.
Right.
You're not going to get away with it. So he was willing, very important, to throw his life away at basically 55 years old.
So he has been granted parole now. What was he put away for?
So first-degree murder.
First-degree murder.
And remember, you can only be sentenced for what the crime was, the penalty at the time the crime was committed. So today, that would be with a gun, it would be 50 to life. And
right.
You would have to serve all 50 before you could even get parole. But back then, he was basically given, he got 25 years for the murder, and then I believe it was only a year for the gun. But back then, the way it worked was you basically got half time, the parole system. Now we're heading back that way, apparently. But in essence, he is eligible for parole next February, but they do the hearings in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the threat, when I got this threat, I find out it's a cellmate. I'm going, okay, what does he want, you know, et cetera. He wants nothing. I said, well, you know what? I want to interview him. So I interview him, and we polygraph him. And he basically says, listen, this guy's horrible. He executed the
– You interview the cellmate.
I interview the cellmate.
Right.
He executed the mother of his four children. He has no remorse about it at all.
And when you say he wanted nothing, nothing in return for the information.
Nothing. Okay. Wasn't asking for anything.
Except maybe a cell transfer.
but by this time, Mr. Bradford, I think either he had been transferred or was in the process of being transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So we polygraph him. And
poor cellmate's like, well, what are you in for? I sold a half ounce of weed at a fish concert. What are you in for? I kill everyone I see. Awesome. This is going to be awesome.
Excuse me.
Do you know John Lewin?
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't want to fight him over the cigarettes or the betting money.
But, yeah.
So the bottom line is that they end up talking to this inmate. He takes the polygraph. He passes the poly. Now, at this time, remember, the guy's doing life. This is a polygraphs are not admissible in court unless both sides mm-hmm. stipulates. That means they'll never be admissible because both sides are never going to stipulate.
Right.
Because it's going to help one side or the other. And in addition, it's a different.
I'm sorry, just for a ruling here.
Yeah.
Unless both sides stipulate in advance.
Yes. So what happens is the polygraph occurs. You
right.
can always polygraph whoever you want.
Right.
In order for that to be admissible in front of a jury or even the offer to take a polygraph, you have to have both sides agree that evidence can
and
be admitted.
And by then, we know how they did on the polygraph.
Correct.
Yeah, so why would the other one?
No one would ever agree one side or the other. Okay.
Correct. So you're going to have – this case is out of county. It didn't occur in Los Angeles because the prison was, I believe, in Kern County. He's serving life. In order to prosecute him, you couldn't use the polygraph. You'd have to expose the informant. No. Which is going to put him in a bad position. So nothing happens with the case. I mean, obviously, the guy's serving life.
Right.
He's executed his wife. There's no way they're ever going to let this man out.
But wait a minute. The guy who doesn't care about traffic is going to get involved.
So
he's got to prioritize, baby. You get an LAX, no big deal, but letting killers out.
So fast forward, we get the parole hearing, and I don't go up there. We send a person from our office who is basically doing the hearing. I go up there as a representative of the family because there are issues whether I'm considered a victim or not. Don't ask me why that is. But I go up there as a representative of the family, which allows me to end up saying what happened. I give them advance. I send a letter detailing everything I've just said. And the parole hearing was one of the most disgusting proceedings I've been involved with in my legal career.
Well, hold on. That's a cliffhanger. Take care of a little business. And then I want to know what goes on in these things. I find them interesting. I always found it interesting that Sharon Tate's mom would show up and get with Charles Manson like every 7 years. And I'd just be kind of like, well, he's not going anywhere. Oh, I want to be there. Like, it's a really interesting. Was interesting dynamic and wiring into the human psyche. First, we'll get into that. I'll tell you about LifeLock. If you're concerned about your devices that have been hacked, look for these signs. Does it restart on its own? Is it running slower than normal? How about programs or apps you didn't recognize or post to social media? Things you didn't create, like Joy Reid over there. Said some things, and somebody got hacked and said some comments out there. Could happen. Today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity that your devices can't see and that you might not be able to see and that you can't fix yourself. So it's 2018. Let's get some protection with our identity. Let's get LifeLock. Look, if you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have one. You'll have LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now for the first year. Get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com today. Enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
All right. We're right back.
Oh, yeah. We're here. Happy to
John,
have you.
So we left off on a horrible parolee hearing.
So what happens is we go up there, and I was under the impression that the parole board was going to listen to what was said, was going to read the reports, and was going to make a decision based on what they heard. I was clearly wrong. The decision was obviously made before we ever walked in the room. And I know that because it's not just that the facts of what happened, that he's coming up for parole, et cetera. It's not that the facts are
– When did he actually go in?
So into prison?
Yeah.
So he went in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he is – the way it works is in essence he's going to be eligible February of 2019. Mm-hmm. So we get up there. The family comes as well. His family is completely against him being paroled. There's nobody there for him. He's 85 years old. And the commissioner from the start starts talking about his dementia and how what poor shape he's in. He's categorized what's called a DD2, which basically just means he needs assistance with daily activities. Of course, the commissioner keeps emphasizing the dementia. They start
the pity move.
Yeah. Oh. And they start. No. I mean the commissioner, the judge who's putting it on is explaining how we know you have dementia. The guy remembers every school he attended. How many rooms were in the school, every assignment his dad had when he worked for the railroad. His memory is better than mine. So this goes on. Guess where his memory starts to get hazy? Any guesses?
Yeah, about the murder.
Yeah, so he originally denies.
Oh, and about the threats to you, obviously.
Well, the murder, though, to start. Yeah. So one of the rules in parole traditionally is that you need to acknowledge what you've done. You need to accept responsibility, and then you need to program. You need to do all the program you can do there. Prior to this hearing, he's never acknowledged any guilt. He's done almost zero programming in all the time he's been in prison. So he is the absolute poster boy for you don't get parole. So they ask him about the death of his wife, and he denies. They ask him about his wife, and he says, quote, she passed away.
Right.
Yeah, which generally you will pass away when you're shot five times.
He's not wrong.
Right. Close range.
Right.
So then he ends up, when they inquire more, quote, oh, is that the woman I shot? And so we're like, wow, he's – for the first time, he's actually to some degree admitting it because you're not going to get parole if you don't.
Right.
So very weak attempt. Then he proceeds to explain how you got to love this one. They ask him, you know, were you angry with her? No, he was not angry with her. He was, quote, irritated.
It's always weird when people try to dance around the five hollow point slugs in the back of the neck.
It's also
there was
bad.
Some aggravation.
Yeah, it's also bad when someone is saying, hey, they were irritated and this is what you did.
Well, what happens when you get angry?
What happens when you get angry,
So, how could it get worse?
So they bring up the fact, and it's come out during his – he has to get examined by a prison psychologist beforehand. He refused to speak about the crime at all. And the prison psychologist has come back with an assessment. They grade it three ways, minimal, moderate, and high risk. The psychologist has come back with moderate risk. Now, he's 85. The commissioner himself says during the hearing, I can't remember the last time I saw somebody this age who was anything other than a low risk. So the shrink – and the shrink also is saying things like, you know, this guy – they're concerned about his future dangerousness. He's not accepting any responsibility. So the
kind of an open and shut case, it would sound like.
Open and shut. So the but the commissioner doesn't care because his whole focus is what are your plans for parole? What are you going to do when you get out? So he says he wants to live with his sister. You can't make this stuff up. Let me just back up one step. They go into detail that he had been very angry with his mother when he was young because his mother had taken his money from a summer job for a few years. Very angry with his mother. Very angry with his wife about money. And so now we get to where you're going to stay. I want to live with my sister. Do you have money? Yeah, I have millions of dollars that my sister has.
Oh, boy.
Although I've been talking to my sister lately and she doesn't want to talk about the money. So his lawyer says they haven't been able to reach the sister. So during
she doesn't want to be next.
Yeah,
she's so, like, I'll find her.
Well, so during lunch, they call the sister. We come back after lunch, and you can see that he's not in a good mood. So the lawyer basically says, yeah, we called the sister. It's not going to work out for him to stay there. Oh, also,
he wants her address.
No more money.
Oh, right. Boy.
Okay. So I just want to get the comment right, because I think you all will agree that if you are a parole board – and you have to ask the following question.
New bit. You're a parole board.
Yeah. If you're the parole board, you have to ask the following question. Let me get it here.
I can buy a few minutes if I say it says here that parole was granted in late January and that there's 120 days to overturn. Does that mean he gets released in 120 days?
No. What's going to happen is
It's 120 days to overturn it, and he's coming out and whatever.
No, parole board has 120 days. Then it goes to the governor, which will be the end of this month. The governor will have 30 days. So I'm hoping the governor is gonna reverse this absolute, you know, atrocity. So here's the line. This isn't me. This is the commissioner. Are you planning on hurting your sister if we let you out? Let's say you get out there and there's no money. Let's say that all of that $8 million is gone. This is from the transcript. He responds, well, I'd still have my IRA account. Well, that doesn't sound like
a yes or no.
That's not what I ask you. That's not what I ask you. I didn't ask you what you had accounts in. I'm not checking your portfolio right now. I'm asking if you plan on hurting your sister if you find out there's no money left. He responds, not, oh, my God, I would never hurt my sister. Are you kidding me? How could you even ask that? Here's his response. No, I have no thoughts of doing anything to my sister.
No plans.
Later on, he will say that he's thinking about suing her, and he will decide, quote, how mad I want to be when I go through the... So, in any event, I'm listening to this going, oh, they're never giving this guy parole.
Yeah, sorry,
because,
stepped on it.
I mean, the very questions he's asking, he hasn't done any of the things you're supposed to do. He's got no plans. Oh, you'll like this, too. The programming that he's done almost nothing. He has gone to a couple of classes. You can't make this up. Of, quote, cage your rage.
Wow.
Do you yell freak out into a pillow?
Sounds like Fight Club.
Apparently you get together and you...
I wasn't there, but I'm sure what went happen is this guy did a little troubleshooting with the prison DirecTV. And that always curries favor with the warden. I mean, anyone who comes in and fixes the DirecTV box, the warden probably blew him before he sent him back. It's Shawshank Redemption, where he did all the books and everything, you know?
Hot mop the roof.
Welcome to Crage Your Rage. To state your name, William Bradford. Okay, how about you? Lucius.
So he even admits that he hasn't really learned anything yet. He needs more programming to figure out. He doesn't know why he's done it. They ask him, why'd you do it? No explanation why he killed his wife.
Well, John, just in the name of timeliness, it's going to go to the governor, right?
Well, Adam, I just got to give you one last thing. So when they call me back in to explain what happened and what the rules are, what the ruling is, and the commissioner doesn't do this on the record. The machine's turned off. He says, I'm going to grant parole. Quote, I did not find a nexus between his threats to kill your family and you 15 years ago and his current dangerousness now.
Mm. Wow.
I said, what would you expect? He's 67 years old in prison making plans to kill my family and to kill me.
You know what this is? This is Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh, Sideshow Bob was much, much more eligible for parole than this guy. And he had better hair.
It's just they don't want to pay for his medical stuff and they want to age him out of there and make room?
I mean, it gets very – listen, I'm not there when you start figuring what's going on. He's 85 years old. He's not a cheap inmate to house. I think this commissioner decided, because he knows everything. He made it very clear to me, by the way, how experienced he is and how knowledgeable he is. So he has no problem betting the lives of my family, my minor children, on his brilliant assessment of this guy's dangerousness. I think they have an edict of we need to clear these prisons out. And this guy, that's what he did. But maybe the worst thing about it is that he didn't even have the decency with the family and I to pretend that he was listening to us. We come all the way up there to voice what's going on, and he made it clear that he didn't care what we had to say. So
he'd already made his decision.
Yeah, so when he said it, I was quite angry.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe it, in shock. And he had this arrogant – he started citing to me a case that compelled him – he's not a lawyer – to do what he did. I later on read the case, and the case actually compels the opposite.
He saw the guy's age and so rendered a decision long before.
Absolutely. He decided, hey, this guy's not going to hurt anybody, right. And what's the risk? It's not my family.
What can people, before we head into the news here, what can people do? What's our call to action? It says head to NBCLosAngeles.com. You can learn more about this story.
Here's what's going on. The governor is going to get this case in approximately May 29th. The governor will have 30 days to decide what he's going to do. Now, historically, from what I've been told, the governor has actually reversed many of these parole grants that have involved threats on law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping when you look at this thing, I mean, the guys, you look at the crime, Adam, he executed his wife. The crime is so awful. He wasn't a young man. It was
right.
He should never get out, period.
Right. So what do you do? Well, hit up the governor's office?
That's what you do. You contact the governor, any representatives that you know, anybody within the Board of Prisons. I mean, I'm just hoping that there's enough publicity on this that, you know, the flashlight acts as a little bit of a sanitizer. And that it makes them have to make, you know, the right decision.
I was going to say, Jerry Brown's on Twitter. You can probably hit him up with Twitter. He's active on social media. He's a very public figure. Yeah. He likes to make a splash.
All right.
And I just looked him up, and the guy's a sociopath. He has a million followers, follows 17 people. That's a sociopath move.
Oh, Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Who's the best? Is it Kanye?
No. Gallagher.
Liam Gallagher.
Liam Gallagher has like 2 million followers, follows zero.
That's
the ultimate Liam Gallagher move.
All right. Well, Brian, why don't you come up with it? Let our audience hit him a tweet hashtag for a second. I'll tell you guys about True Car. Oh, you need True Car. I got a tip for you. Let's shop at True Car. True Car also helps people get new and used cars. It's not all new. It's not all used. It's new and used with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you're going to buy new or you're going to buy used, you see what other people pay. You figure out exactly what the car you want. You compare them, apples to apples. You lock in your price. You get your certificate. You enjoy a faster car buying experience by connecting with True Car Certified dealers who are also working and competing against one another to bring that price down. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Brian, you got an idea?
Yeah, hit up at Jerry Brown Gov. What a stupid name. At Jerry Brown Gov. Let him know what a bad idea it would be to parole Mr. Bradford with the hashtag Bad Bradford.
Oh, that's good.
Hashtag Bad Brad.
That's good. I put Bradford behind bars, but yours is
bad
quicker.
Bradford.
Bad
Very
Bradford.
Good. John Lewin, anything about the Menendez brothers? I want them out of prison. whatever they did to their family, I blame them. It's nature or nurture. I want some taxpayers out here. Let's make room with them.
I think if they age a little bit
sure.
and they appear in front of this commissioner,
no problem.
They'll be good to go.
They're definitely getting out to do that. John, I know you're not going to hang around for news because that's not part of your job description. But I will say that toss it out one more time, Brian.
At Jerry Brown Gov, let him know how bad an idea it would be and tell him Bad Bradford. Hashtag.
We need good guys around like Deputy District Attorney, Major Crime, John Lewin. Thank you, John, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. All right. We shall take a quick break, and we'll come back with the news.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drug meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the NFL has come up with a compromise on the issue of kneeling for the national anthem.
Oh, I just talked to Garagus about this.
I bet he has some insight, because players on the field will be required to stand, but they will be allowed to remain in the locker room if they want to. So if they choose to come out of the locker room, they have to stand, but they don't have to come out of the locker room. Players and teams will be subject to fines if they don't show, quote, appropriate respect for the anthem. And teams will be able to fine players in addition. Owners are expected to approve the policy, well, today, as we record this.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt's going to air this Saturday, but we pre-recorded it because of Mark's crazy schedule and mine, too. There was a discussion by the league, as told by Mark to me, which was if somebody did go out on the field and kneel, then it would be a 15-yard penalty that would be assessed on the kickoff. And then I said, what if both teams had somebody who kneeled? And then he said, it's ridiculous. And then The whole thing's ridiculous. But he did say something that was sort of interesting. And I have a kind of a weird relationship with Mark in this particular case, because we're pretty simpatico on just about everything. I don't have a big issue with kneeling. My issue is more that it's the cause of the kneeling. It's like police brutality on communities of color. It's statistically not correct, and it's actually going to get more communities of color people shot by other communities, people in the community of color. And so my problem is not his right to kneel, but he's perpetuating something that is crushing our people of color, which is thinking they have a target on their back when a cop pulls them over, comes in their community. But Mark said something sort of interesting. It's a little, oh, come on. But he said, it's a very lawyer-esque thing. He said, taking a knee is sort of a stance. It's a political stance on that. Yeah, ironically. On an issue. Yeah. He said, standing and putting your right hand over your heart is a stance as well.
Four.
Yep. It's for an issue. And I said, oh, I never. That's
both
such
for a symbolic in their own way.
Right. But it's a lawyer thing. And then I thought, you know, it's funny is they used to dolly camera down the sideline. There'd be the guy standing there, you know, Jim Burt, I think it was Jim Burt. Remember Jim Burt?
Good name.
Jim Burt, New York Giants defensive lineman. I'm pretty sure like nose tackle or something, like an interior guy. Okay. That's one of those guys where it's like, you know, his brother's overseas, he's in the military, and the helicopter's flying.
Is the single teardrop?
That dude's got his hand smashed over his heart.
He's trying to reach into his heart.
Yeah, he's mouthing along with Whitney Houston. And then there are other guys who just sort of standing there. Right. And then there's sometimes you see a guy like talking to another guy or something. So. And then maybe a guy at the end's on a knee. Like, there's all different ranges of respect if you think about it. Anyway, Jim Burt. I need a picture of Jim Burt.
Really going for it
on that sideline. Well, that's Jim Burt running out on the field. Let's see if we can find one of him on that sideline, just grabbing that heart by its lapels, and shaking it senselessly. But anyway, sorry, Brian.
No, I was going to say a couple things. One, yes, of course, you have the right to protest anything you want. If it's on a national stage of that level, better make it something good. Better make it something you really believe in. And yeah, the other thing was I lost my train of thought.
Hand over the heart.
I know the heart. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Well, this seems. I mean, on the face of it, seems like a decent compromise. Don't come out, and if you come out, do what you're expected to do.
Yeah, it's fine. And then you get into this thing where it's like, yes.
If the national
you're
anthem
turning
is so,
into Charles Nelson Reilly,
if the national anthem is so goddamn precious to the National Football League, how about we suspend all concession sales in the national anthem? God forbid someone goes and gets a goddamn beer or a hot dog or stands in line, urinates, they're pissing during the national anthem. If it's
That's
so
right.
fucking important to you, make sure that no one takes their eyes off the flag. Or
go.
You don't like black people doing things you don't want them to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Preach. And by the way, when you're in that
you're
bathroom,
like, yes, Morgan Freeman and Lean on Me.
And you're peeing.
Give me my megaphone.
Into that urinal, it says American Standard.
Yes, you're peeing on America.
That's right. All right, sorry. So,
I don't even
cares?
Know what you're
saying. I would personally not choose to kneel, but I respect your right to do so. I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it myself.
Well, then you get into this part. Then there's the part where you go, well, look, these people, I told Mark when I was 19, I went to the Sherman Oaks Galleria and I applied for a job at Hot Dog on a Stick. And, I'm going to tie this shit together.
Okay, here we go.
And there were no jobs. And I was wandering around when I was 19, like North Hollywood, like putting in applications at supermarkets to be like, you know, stock boy or anything, liquor stores, walking on a construction site trying to get jobs. There's no jobs. I found out that the Hot Dog on a Stick at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, Fast Times at Ridgemont High fame, paid something like $7 an hour versus the McDonald's that paid like $3.75 an hour. And I wanted to work there. Now, I couldn't work there because I was a dude, and all their chicks look like Pan Am stewardesses, circa 1960-something, you know. And
short skirts.
But where I'm bringing it to is I had the thought of I will wear that goofy outfit if you pay me $7 an hour.
I have a price.
And I couldn't really just show up and go, I'll take the job. Now I'm wearing my street clothes because that's how I roll. Like, I made a deal. These are the rules. Mm-hmm. Put the stupid hat on and go churn the lemonade. And I brought that up to Mark. I said, there's another part of me that thinks like, okay, you have a contract. You've gone to work. Part of this stipulates you must stand, kneel after the game or when you leave the stadium or whatever it is, because you're an employee, essentially. But then Mark said, well, who's paying for these stadiums? Mm-hmm. Like, they get so much money from, and he sort of agreed that if you own the team and you took no money from the city you
That's
were in,
really
or didn't do any of that, like you just you took nothing. Then maybe you could stipulate,
but
you can't because they did a bond for the taxpayers and they paid for half your stadium. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, where were we?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Did you hear about this story? Because it's been going on for a couple days now, and it just keeps getting more insane. In Syracuse, New York, a couple went to court to force their 30-year-old son to move out.
Oh, I had heard about this.
Well, turns out they
Jim
won.
Also, Jim Burt makes his home in Syracuse, so I know all about
it. You're real Syracuse aficionado.
Anything of him on a sideline looking proud?
I'm looking.
I may just be
not
making him up.
Not a ton of stuff.
He's undersized, but he's a spark plug.
Mm-hmm. Well, in court, Christina and Mark Rotondo claimed their son Michael was refusing to leave the house despite giving him 5 written notices over the past few months. They also claim Michael didn't contribute to the family's expenses, didn't help out with chores around the house, even said they offered to help him get on his feet. It didn't work. Their son apparently moved back into the home 8 years ago after losing a job, adding that he and his parents aren't on speaking terms. I believe he also has a son. Oh, yeah, that's coming out. He now runs a, quote, website business that he won't give any details on. The parents took their son to court after several failed attempts to get him out, including a cash offer of $1,100 to help with the moving expenses and get his Volkswagen Passat off of their driveway.
Sweet, Ryan.
Outside court, Raton. And
wait, diesel or standard?
He does have a son, too, that he lost custody of as well.
Oh, I love it. I also heard, like, sell your car or your stereo equipment or your weapons.
Yes.
I think weapons.
That is true. I think it does sound like the parents are a little scared of him.
I don't know what his weapons are, but this guy with weapons to sell living in your house, you know, that night, couple first nights back home after the court date.
Yeah.
He's shaky.
Lock the door.
Yeah.
Lock the door, although... If you had my sliding door, you'd have no idea.
Well, I'll show you a video of him after the decision. He looks like the kind of guy. Remember back, where were we? I think we're on the way to Fresno when we stopped at that convenience store saw that dude in like a utility kilt with all the weapons in it.
Yeah.
Kind of has that vibe.
That was him.
Mm-hmm. It might have been. So they took the case to the judge. They ruled Michael must leave the household immediately. Here's a clip of the son talking to reporters. Oh, he acted as his own counsel,
always
by the way.
Always a good sign.
Here's a clip of the son talking to reporters that he beckoned over after the hearing. It's about a minute.
I mean, it seems to me like I should be provided, you know, like 30 days or so, because generally you get 30 days after you're found, you know, that you have to vacate a premises. So I'm expecting something like that. But realistically, if somehow that's not the case, I don't know. But, you know, really, the reason I had you guys all come over here like this is because, you know, he didn't read my case.
I asked him to. I've seen enough. This guy's nuts. He's doing all sorts of stuff with his hair.
You know, it's interesting. I heard him call into the Gary and Shannon show on KFI on the way over. Mm-hmm. And after they got off the phone, because it was a very weird interview, after they got off, one of them, I think it was Gary, said, you know, I had a lot of, you know, verbal bullets in the chamber for this guy, but I laid off because he doesn't seem well.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you find with most stories I have found. Most of them is like, oh, that lady took a dump at the donut shop, you know, or
this guy
did this thing, or like, what a bitch, or like, what an asshole, or whatever. And then seriously, Tom, you realize there's mental instability. Right. Like, who would do that? A crazy person who would not be able to communicate with their parents or have a kid that they lost custody of, blah, blah, blah. Someone who wasn't really firing on all cylinders. Something obviously. Right. So we picture a 40-year-old Tony Randall taking a dump in a donut shop or having to go to court with eviction papers with his parents. Like, so we picture like super sane person, and then we go, Why would you do that? Like, we're just taking our sane brain and we also have the same problem with like ISIS. Like, why would you kill a gay guy by throwing him off a building? Come on, knock it off.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Wasn't it for you?
What did that guy do to you?
Yeah.
Right? So when you apply that, by the way, to everything, it doesn't really work, and sometimes you get thrown off a building.
By not adding up, it adds up.
Yes.
Strangely.
Right.
Poor parents, man.
Ugh.
But
sell your weapons sounds weird to me.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. And if you saw the parents, they're sort of mild-mannered. They're sitting in the court sort of shrinking and sort of sitting cross-legged with their heads down. I mean, I don't think they're a match for a kid who's off off kilter.
Fame hungry.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, a sinkhole has opened on the White House lawn, and it's growing. Over the weekend, a sinkhole has been growing on the north lawn of the White House, just near the press briefing room. Voice of America reporter Steve Herman said, quote, it was noticeably bigger between Sunday and Monday. A second sinkhole has opened up next to it. Turns out parts of D.C. are literally built on a swamp. The city's geological issues are include four-bulge collapse. Do you know what that
maybe
is?
He's finally draining the swamp.
This is the swamp.
And this is what's happened.
Exactly.
When you drain the swamp, you get sinkholes.
Turns out they need the swamp.
Yeah, this is a post-ice age condition that means the city could sink as much as 6 inches this century. Sinkholes have opened up across the city in recent years. They forced two residents to abandon their homes in March and swallowed up a school bus last year. This is the first report of one on the White House lawn. Last year, a giant...
Sinkholes and volcanoes.
Yeah,
is there any religious
time.
Nut job who can do the rapture math here?
Not
sell
rapture,
your stuff.
But I do have not a conspiracy theory, but like, would it not surprise you if there was a large underground network under the White House for presidents
Literally,
for presidents to escape an attack or for some sort of what?
There are
that's
bunkers
what I'm saying.
And tunnels underneath the White House.
It seems like the swamp thing is a lot of like, oh, here's what's happening. It's like, or.
But something also sort of hilarious. Last year, a giant sinkhole opened in front of Mar-a-Lago in Florida.
Ooh. Yeah, it's called the sand trap. There is a... Jeez.
I saw Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, God.
And documentary. Two documentaries.
I will watch as many of those movies as Hollywood can offer up. There's no such... Oh, and I think there's going to be more coming. There's no such thing as a White House under siege kind of takeover thing where the young black guy's got to protect that. Or the other way around. Yeah. And wants to make it right with his daughter. Like, hey... it's endless for me. There's no amount of those movies that you can make that I wouldn't watch.
That's right.
You know what? But you know what actually freaks me out to look at? Obviously, it's fake. It's CGI. It's a movie. Nothing else needs to be said about it. But when that classic moment in so many of these disaster movies, when you see a flood of water take down a major city, that is so terrifying to me.
Always the best.
Water, specifically,
it always
so
starts
terrifying.
With the Statue of Liberty going over.
Records
toppling.
If it's over here. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what the real, not real, the based on a real version of that is a movie called The Impossible with Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor about the Sri Lankan earthquake and the tidal wave. Excellent movie. Kind of came in and went. I think it nominated for an Oscar, but check it out. It's good.
So scary.
It's a crazy story. I do remember there was that supermodel.
Oh, yes. The Thai in Thailand.
She had a tree or something, right?
She,
right?
But her boyfriend was swept out to sea.
Right.
And I always thought, you want to be the next guy to date her. Yeah. Because the problem with the dating supermodels is the last guy you're banging around with was Leonardo DiCaprio. And then he's got to show up on Entertainment Tonight. Yeah. And then every time you go to Fashion Week or some event, there comes
you're
Leo.
You're at the dinner playing John Mayer. Like,
right.
Oh, look
who it is. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. What you want is swept out to sea. Just never going to pop up or show up. Or we got front row tickets to the Knicks game. Guess who's sitting next to us? The guy was blowing 7 weeks ago.
The problem with the musician being the ex-boyfriend, let's say John Mayer, for example.
Doesn't matter. You're pumped in.
Every song you hear of his, is that about her? Is that about her? Has it been
well, and also
is
you,
body really
you could sweep John Mayer out to sea and we'd still be hearing the Wonderland song. Yeah. But
neither hide nor hair.
Boyfriend swept out to sea. That's what you're like. Who was that model, Max Pata?
This was in Thailand, I believe.
Elle McPherson.
No.
It was not a super famous name.
It was somebody you guys, I don't know if you recognize, you'd see her and go, oh, yeah. Or maybe she was Victoria's Secret or something like that. You look at that. I don't know what she's doing today. But I remember at the time going, oh, yeah, she's somebody I knew or something. Yes?
Her name's Petra Nemkova.
She's pretty famous.
That's
take that back.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah, Petra
Nemkova. She's all right if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah if you like
leggy.
Tons of
physical specimens.
I'm just saying, I say you date her, and it's like, again, it's DiCaprio. It's the usual suspects, and they're all showing up at the same events, and we got to go figure out whether we should say hi, or is this awkward or weird? Now you're going to be introduced, and it's a new guy, and everyone knows. But swept out to sea.
That's good.
Clean break.
Never speak his name again.
And it's not a movie, so he's not coming back and going to freak everybody out in 10 years.
Covered in seaweed.
Yeah.
One could argue is an act of God. Like, he must have been a bad person.
For sure.
Yes.
The universe had its plans.
No, I feel bad for the guy and his family and stuff. I'm just saying the guy who got the lottery ticket is the guy who's the next guy to Petra's show up. That's all. Yeah. That's all. And then also, you know, she's you know,
reeling.
She's reeling a little bit. Yeah. She wants to make it up in your arms. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sure. Overcompensate sexually. Where was I? Let me tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings. That's what I want to talk about. Oh, it's that time again. You got to pick between a basketball and hockey solution. Buffalo Wild Wings. They have hockey. They got basketball. They got dozens of screens. So much to choose from. Plus, you get your sports and your foods, all the stuff you crave. America's favorite wings. 21 signature sauces and seasonings. Shareable favorites like cheddar cheese, curd, and fried pickles. Love that. I start salivating when I do these reads. Huge variety of beers. Love that. So, all the games, all the beers, all the foods, all that you want. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Please drink responsibly. We can't find a picture of Jim Bird on the sideline, huh?
No. Not a ton of pictures of him even on the internet, but I mean, I'm scrolling through a whole
game. The guy was a perennial whatever on... he was there when the Giants were winning Super Bowl or winning a second Super Bowl or whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, a plaque dedicated to retired soccer champ Brandi Chastain looks more like Gary Busey, Jimmy Carter. I believe Dawson pointed out possible Huell Hauser likeness. Mm. The Bay Area sports. There you go. There it is.
I suspect Gary's head injury is affecting his behavior.
The Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame in San Francisco unveiled the plaque on Monday night. Chastain said, quote, "It's not the most flattering, but it's nice."
Hall she of Fame, famously was a rip-off the
yes,
jersey
at
one.
The end of the... Yeah, the big winning game. Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame Vice President of Finance and Administration Anthony Savick said, "The images on the plaques are representations and never intended to be photographic likenesses."
So do
looks
we,
just like Jimmy Carter or Eleanor Roosevelt.
Did someone bring up Babe Ruth?
A little Babe Ruth.
He's,
Babe,
you know what? In the eyes and the hair.
Is that Roger Clinton?
A lot of Elizabeth Warren.
I see it in the eyes.
If you find a good shot of Elizabeth Warren, you'll see it. You'll see it sort of in the eyes and the hair and maybe even the smile. I think they're going to remake it.
Yeah, well, at the time they said there were no plans to, but I heard on the radio they are.
The thing about this happened, they got to look up Elizabeth Warren. Well, find the right picture. Take your time.
Do you need a bust in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame? Can it just be a plaque or a medal or a picture, God forbid?
Yeah, I feel that
Something
way,
less
too.
Offensive.
There's also a statue or another one of Ronaldo something, great
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Soccer player.
He's hot.
The bus was not.
Nah. When you see that one, take your time, Max, about it. When you see that one, you're going
to
see a guy's not
this is
hot.
Like a year or two ago. It was pretty. It was still kind of everywhere.
Oh, no.
It's happened.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
There's a precedent for this. Like, there has to be a process where a committee checks in, like, every 10 days with the sculptor and goes,
Hi, I'm Donnie Ronaldo. You might know my brother, Christian.
He looks like there's been some sort of lobotomy.
Yes.
He looks like he's at peace.
Not what you're looking for.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
All right. It's pretty.
Oh, wow. There it is. There's a
little. Oh, the nose is a lot like that.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well done.
So don't destroy it.
Brandi Warren.
Wait
till Elizabeth Warren gets into Bay Area Sports.
All you got to do is go to Lens Crafters. You're one trip from a Lens Crafters away from actually saving a ton. Look, this is how I save the taxpayers money.
That's right.
When Elizabeth gets. Better yet. Whenever she gets inducted into anything, sell it to that Hall of Fame and get your money. See if you can recoup some of those losses.
Smart.
Thank you. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, everyone's got the to-do list. Make the bus, send it to Elizabeth Warren's office. How about you save a ton of money on your auto insurance by going to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving you 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why would you do anything else? Slide over that computer, go to geico.com, and in just a few minutes, you could be saving quite a bit on your auto insurance. That's Geico. Geico.com. Portland, Aladdin Theater, second show added June 9th, one-man show, taping two shows. So first one's sold out, but the second one isn't. So come out to that. Seattle, you can come say hi to us at the Moore Theater. We love the Moore Theater. It's so awesome. September 13th, do a live podcast there. They got that uppity screening coming up this Saturday, free admission. So check that out. It's at the Indianapolis Museum of Art and the Tobias Theater there. We'll do a Q&A afterward. So come say hi. We enjoy that part. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for John Lewin and Jim Burt. And Gina Grad and Bull Bryan saying, mahalo.
He's just a complete miserable asshole.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Voicemail. Call us. Leave us one at 888-634-1744. Get your tickets for the second show in Portland, Oregon, June 9th. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, great events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.